So humans have handedness, and even some animals, if we've seen.
I like the way you nodded at Chris when you said even some animals.
But is the same true for chemistry? Stephen Driver, this is your area of research. Can chemicals tell left from right?
I don't know if they can tell left from right, but there are certainly left-handed and right-handed versions of certain types of molecule.
So this affects the way that they work?
Chemically, they're the same, but in biological systems, it can be very important to keep track of the differences between the left-handed versions and the right-handed versions.
So we put these effects to the test as I went to Hills Road Sixth Form College in Cambridge, armed with a smell challenge, using a chemical called Carvone, kindly provided by Dr. Stefan Heeb from the University of Nottingham. First, I wanted to tell how well the students and staff could identify the smell of Carvone, so I gave a group of them a tube to sniff.
Peppermint.
Peppermint, like the peppermint sweets you get.
Peppermint.
Spearmint.
Mint.
So that was a pretty clean sweep with mint, but I gave another tube of Carvone to a different group and they had a little more trouble.
I think it smells a bit lemony. It also reminds me of baby wipes.
Maybe something you'd have in like shower gels or something.
I thought it smelled like aniseed or maybe licorice.
I wouldn't cook with it. It smells like musty clothing to me.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. It's something that makes me kind of think a bit... Ugh.
That was the same stuff.
Well, both groups were given a tube of Carvone, except one was this tube labelled S-Carvone and the other one was labelled R-Carvone. So, Stephen, what's the difference?
So it's all about carbon atoms. A carbon atom wants to form four chemical bonds and the four chemical bonds want to get as far away from each other in space as they possibly can. So they take on a particular geometric arrangement called a tetrahedron. Imagine, if you like, three bonds pointing downwards and outwards, forming a little tripod, and the fourth bond pointing straight up. So if you put different atoms or different chemical groups onto those four bonds, you form a molecule. But it turns out that you can do that in a kind of a left-handed way, or an anti-clockwise way, and a clockwise way. And what you have then are molecules that are the mirror images of each other. In chemistry, we call those enantiomers, and we say that the molecules are chiral. So they're chemically the same, but biochemically they can be very different.
So they have a different shape, and this shape works in different ways.
And one is the mirror image of the other.
So there's different shapes in each of these tubes. The S form is what we would call left-handed form. That form of Carvone is found naturally in caraway, which people seem to have a hard time identifying, whereas the right-handed form is found in mint, which we saw people could recognise quite easily. So these are bonding with the receptors in their noses. Stephen, is it just smells that this is working with, or are there other effects everywhere else?
There are other effects everywhere else as well. In terms of applications, one very important area is pharmaceuticals. Artificial sensors is another one. We've talked about the nose as a biological sensor, but if we want to make artificial sensors, you know, little gadgets that can detect molecules, it may be that they need to be sensitive to the left-handed and right-handed forms as well.
There could be serious consequences if the chirality, the shape of the molecule, is the wrong way around, as we see in some drug examples.
That's right. There are examples where one enantiomer, so one chirality of the drug molecule, is effective, and the other chirality either it's not effective or it can even be harmful. So it can be very important to get that right.
The classic example was the thalidomide drug that was completely safe in one form, and then they didn't know that the other form would cause these birth defects, and that's how that accident happened, right?
I believe it's actually slightly more complicated than that in that particular example.
I think the problem is that if you have the pure one, then they spontaneously racemize into the other one. They haven't got a half-life, which is very long, so you can't give the pure version.
So it's really difficult to control the shape of these molecules.
Of that molecule.
So, Stephen, this is what you research at the minute, trying to create molecules that only go one way around.
That's right. So there are ways of doing that, and there are ways of doing that that currently are used in the chemical industry. But they involve a technique known as homogeneous catalysis. So I need to explain what a catalyst is. So if you're trying to do a chemical reaction, you're taking reactants and converting them into products. Often you need to control how that's done. So either you need to speed the reaction up or you need to push the reaction towards a particular product. And in this case, we want to push it towards a particular chirality of product. So homogeneous catalysis, imagine that your reactants are liquid, your products are liquid, and your catalyst is also a liquid, so everything's in the liquid phase. And you do your reaction, you get your product, but then you have to somehow separate out any leftover reactants and the catalyst so that you can reuse it. And that's doable, and that's done in industry, but it's difficult. So we're interested in a different way of doing that. It's called heterogeneous catalysis. And that's widely used in the chemical industry and in car exhaust catalytic converters, for example. And what's happening there is that the reactants are, for example, gas phase. The products are also gas phase, but the catalyst is a solid. Typically, it's a metal solid, so it's the surface of a metal. So we're looking at whether it's possible to use metal surfaces to do enantioselective heterogeneous catalysis.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, we're getting promising results. So we're looking at how these chiral molecules interact with metal surfaces, whether they're either symmetric, the surfaces that is, or asymmetric, and looking at the different ways in which chirality can manifest itself.
So very quickly, we saw in the Carvin experiment that natural systems like the spearmint leaf are controlling chirality in the oils that they're making. So why is it so hard to replicate this in the lab?
I think it's not so much that it's difficult to do, it's difficult to separate the products out. So our interest is simply in moving from homogeneous to heterogeneous catalysis to make it an easier industrial process.
Okay, fantastic. Good luck with that. Thank you to Stephen Driver from Cambridge University.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith, with Harriet Johnson, and also our assembled panel this week, where we're talking about handedness, not just of people, but of the insides of bodies, brains, the chemicals that we use and take as drugs, and also the universe. Because with us, Chris McManus is a biologist from University College London. We also have Stephen Driver, who's a chemist, and Ben Alanak, who's a particle physicist. We'll come to Ben in just a second.